Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
This is Low Moon Outsiders, and the story continues.
We go to a new round, missile fire. So Clume and a stirred can fire again. However, Clume will need to get at least one arrow from you.
Clume will drop her bow next to stirred and say, this is getting tedious, and then she'll walk out and turn into a dragon.
Okay. So you're going to go to the side, turn into a dragon.
Yep.
All right. She drops the bow on the ground, moves away from you, and is turning into a dragon. Okay.
Oh.
So you can roll initiative. You can turn in melee, but your initiative will be for your action.
Six.
I mean, turn in missile fire. So you're a dragon to start melee, and then you'll go. You rolled six?
Yeah. Well, I rolled five. So
okay, you're at six. Okay, perfect. You know how to play D&D now better than the actresses on the show that I was watching. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's pretty funny. Okay. So there is now a blue dragon in the woods. Okay, so we're going to actually, before we start this round, we're going to hold here 1 second because he's two rounds behind and he probably can hear the sounds of fighting. So, okay. So you have the book in hand, you trace out the words, and it says in common, it says straight across the bottom, perfectly in a row, something that sounds like journal or J. It looks like J-O-U-R-N, and you stop there. So it could be journey or journal, something like that. And then up on the main part of it, embossed in it, it says R Y K I E, and then under that it says P A L A B I N, and then O, stylized F, big, like it's bigger than the O, so it looks like a big, feels like an S at first, but then you realize it has a crossbar on it, and it says L dot M dot K dot. Okay, so the word, the name appears to be Reiki. Roll a d20.
Eight.
You recall, actually, that when the party first came to the tavern at Gull's Crossing, that the innkeeper gave the entire party the first drink free, because a paladin named Reiki had passed through and paid for everyone's drinks for like a month. Their first drink. Everyone's first drink. Okay. What do you do? At about that time, you hear the sounds of fighting begin in the far distance. Now, it's very faint to you, like this. But everything else is quiet, so.
Yeah, which means if there's not, yeah, they're good. That'll attract some attention.
So what do you do?
Is he that way or that way?
And you're pointing to the way the horse came from, or the way the horse is going to? Okay, he rotates around and motions with his head in the direction that he came from.
If you were going for help, then we're it. Let's go back to my friends.
Okay.
Mind if I tag along with you? I'm going to try and mount up.
Okay, we'll see if roll works. A dex check.
No, 4x3.
Okay, so you jump up and try to put your foot in the stirrup, which the stirrup is like waist high, and then think you're going to swing up on the saddle, and your foot slips out of the stirrup, and you wind up back on the ground somewhat unceremoniously. I assume you put the book back in the saddle.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
If he shied away, then...
He really didn't.
Okay, then I will attempt to be somewhat more...
Okay, roll it. 20.
14, made by 2.
Okay, so yes, you manage to get your toe in there and swing up. So whoever rides with the stirrups sat this way, it's a big man. Like your toe is at the top of the stirrup rather than in where the foot spot is. So the guy's got to be 6'4" for that to be the case. So, but anyway, you're on there, and then he whips his head to the side, and one of the reins comes up and smacks you on the shoulder.
Yeah, got it.
And then reach down, grab the other one, and turn in that direction.
Yep.
Okay, and you can faintly hear the sounds of fighting. All of you do not faintly hear the sounds of fighting, but rather hear the sounds of fighting right in your face and everywhere else, for that matter. Is Astrid firing that round? Okay, so you killed 2 more. You've now used 12 arrows. Also, you do realize that she dropped her bow on the ground at your feet. So when you go to leave this area, you probably want to take it with you, being the wise ranger type that you are. All right, so we are going to melee initiative. Let's see, so to just kind of give you an estimate, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. I mean, you've probably killed 100 of them. There can't be any more than about 200 left. Okay, and 2 arrows arc in and kill 2 of them, but the 2 of you are totally oblivious to that because they're everywhere. Okay. Melee 9, 8, 7, 6. Okay. So you're in 6, I assume, moving toward the battle. So if you intend to use breath weapon on them, you would need to get at least within about 20 or 2 to 3 inches, which would be about like half the distance. And you probably want to be a little closer to that so you can do an arc across them. So assuming that's your plan, you're probably talking about initiative 4. Okay. And then Lucas begins in 6. You can just go ahead and do all your rolls now. They do not. They start in 5. So, and you can't kill them all. So you go ahead. Ooh, 2 claws.
No one.
Okay. That's too bad their FACO is so bad.
That is too bad.
Because I'm like rolling over 16 a lot.
It would really suck if their FACO was like
5. Yes, it would. All right, Lucas takes 3 points of damage from 2 separate claw strikes. So it's 1 and 2.
I'm just going to black it all with my armor.
Okay, let's make sure you're marking it off the armor. And no bites got through. And then we'll do the replacements when we do all the replacements later, okay? So that was in initiative 6. Now we go to initiative 5.
I'm in 5.
Okay, so you're in 5, so you can do it. Go ahead and do yours now. They're in 5 also.
I've got 6.
Killed 6?
Non-1 d20 rolls and 4 below on the d10s.
Did you roll pass through already?
Yeah, I rolled 4.
Got it. What was your pass-through?
4.
4.
10 total.
Okay. I no longer can keep track of the exact number that each of you has killed, so unless you're keeping track of it. This is all blending together over here.
I am keeping track of that.
Okay. All right. And claw, bite on Chiron. All claws missed the first round. All claws missed the second round. All bites missed the first round. Okay, this is the replacements. All claws missed. All claws missed again. And all bites missed. Chiron takes no damage whatsoever. Lucas, replacements. No claws. No claws. And no bites. The two of you will take no damage this round. However, you are getting higher, and beginning this coming round, you will take a -2 to hit from unsure footing, and just generally, they're all over you.
Okay.
Not that that's likely to matter, I think. I'll probably still hit on a 1. Or on a 2, I mean. So, what's your FACO?
14. Echo with the longsword is 10.
So if you have 10 to hit 0, you need a 3. So you will need a 3 to hit. And you will need, what is your FACO with the longsword? Or with this weapon? Oh, you don't know, because you're
so four up in your... Oh, minus 3 from strength is 12.
Yeah, I guess I actually don't know either.
Plus 1 from...
Because why?
Because I'm using a large size short sword from the Fire Giant.
Okay. You didn't have magic from the other sword in there, did you?
I did. I had plus 1 from the other sword. So it's 11 without this sword.
Okay. All right. So just let me know if you roll. 3 is the number you need. And what was the FACO order? I'm sorry.
Hold on a second.
Now you miss on a 1 or a 2 beginning this coming round.
So it's an 11 plus the magic of the sword.
Okay. So you will also miss on a 3.
Hit on a 3 or miss on a 3?
Hit on a 3. So under a 3 is a miss. 1 or 2 is a miss. Okay? All right. So in initiative 4, you move into position. Now, obviously, you cannot breathe lightning over top of where Lucas and Chiron are without hitting them. Okay? And there is still the possibility, because the horde is touching each other, for lightning to spread outside your normal area of effect, because they could be conductive and affecting each other. So what is your plan? What do you want to try to do?
What is my effective area? Like, how far...
Breath
is
weapon area?
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it's, like, 10 or 15 feet wide by 40 feet long. Let me go grab it.
I just neglected to bring it in here. I looked for it when I was going to show you some
I know. How much training do you have? Just for the longbow, or do you have other training?
I have a non-proficient or a non-weapon proficiency.
I have one weapon, one non-weapon, and one heal-related non-weapon.
You
have 60,000 experience to figure it out.
I have
33 left for my herbalism.
Okay, it's 5 feet wide by 100 feet long.
Yes.
5 feet wide, 100 feet long.
So it's a stroke of lightning, straight across the city. Okay. So I mean, you will definitely be able to go across the whole thing. Right now, you've moved to be within 20 yards. So if you want to go right up to the edge, but you don't need to do that, you'll go all the way to the other side of the horde from where you are now.
Are Lucas and Chiron definitely in front of me?
I mean, if you point at them.
Okay.
But if you point over here, no. They are one point of the line, and you are another. So you could do this.
I'll do it to the left of Chiron and Lucas, and I will do it for 15 points.
Okay. All right.
You probably have like 4 hit points.
They also get a save, but. It may not matter if we need 15 points. That'll make it not matter.
I think our discard was that 10 might make it not matter. But this is a better shape. I'm sorry.
If you do 10 and they have 8 hit points, everybody that saves survives. So 15 is safer.
Well, it's still true. They have 8 hit points. They survive.
No, you probably round up for the PC, I would think. I would usually, anyway. Okay, So I can't seem to locate the program. It's not responding.
If you don't want to miss any of the story, Low Moon Origins, Uprising, or Outsiders, like and follow our podcast. Please share it with friends.
It's not responding again.
I think if I were running it in that case, I would just have a small portion of those who save or survive.
You just pick a number.
Yeah. It's like, if there's 10 to save, maybe like 2 or 3 survive on one hit point.
Okay, here we go.
There's like a
and then
that. The ones that survive are a little more hardy.
Okay. Alright, so the stroke of lightning cuts through the brush, passes some of the trees, fires erupt along its path. As the brushes and bits of tree ignite, and then it cuts away out into the dogmen and goes, and you see it just like frying dogmen. A couple of them along the way explode. They go like squished bugs, and then they burst into fire. They burst into fire all over the place. And what you see, one guy, and about 2/3 of the way across, you see one kobold. He sees the lightning coming along, and he jumps straight up in the air, and the lightning hits him full force, and he goes, and then
he gets Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
The Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Okay. And so
dissolve.
You're going to kill 8d8. Roll 8d8.
Yeah,
it was a lot. I don't know.
Two.
I mean, I have a lot more than that. That's all apparently I have out. Here's one.
6, 10,
12, 15, 16,
20, 25, 26, 27.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times 5. 2. Okay. At which point, the lightning strikes the rock on the other side and bounces back and comes through the pack again.
Coming back. Oh, boy.
Okay. I knew that was going to happen because that exact thing hit Leon once.
So roll 6d6 additional kobolds that will be destroyed.
You're fighting a blue dragon in his hideout and breathes down a hallway.
6d6.
And he's on one side of the hallway, and there was a 50-50 roll to see if it hit him. And of course it
did.
Okay. 5.
I am rolling to see whether or not the lightning is passing near enough to Chiron and Lucas. It is. Lucas will save for no damage. Chiron will save for half.
Okay.
How many did you kill that time?
20.
Another 20. 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Save you again.
Save
ref weapon?
No problem.
Yes, ref weapon.
I saved exactly. Oh, wait, do we have dex?
No, because you're covered in kobolds.
Right, yeah, I still save you, Jack.
Okay.
Save number.
Roll 12, my save is a 13, I have a +1 to saves.
So, 8 points.
Yes.
Save for all your items.
So, I'm only going to make you save for sword, shield, and armor.
Okay. Yeah, you know.
You were pretty bathed in kobolds.
Bad. Armor. So
those things are 10? Exterior and unprotected. It's fine.
Got to be pretty low, right?
It's a pretty low save for
sword. 3.
Ooh, that doesn't sound good.
Shield. 5.
Oh boy.
Also doesn't sound great.
Luckily, I have a second sword.
I have a second shield.
My armor is really the only thing I would really be tempted
okay.
to lose, especially in amount of
metal balls. Hard.
Well, losing your sword and a mountain kobolds is pretty bad too. Then you'd be grabbing the mace, I guess.
Well,
and you're not going to have a shield until you get out of the mountain kobolds.
Okay, the sword and shield both fail.
Okay, is it destroyed? Or?
No, they're just damaged to the point that future use will make them no longer
just
viable.
Keep going.
Yep,
and. Did you take into account the bonuses they have as well? don't know if that even matters.
I did. Okay. So that was four. I think we're pretty well done. Kobolds and blah, 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 blah. Okay. All right. So in initiative two, Herrick appears on the back of the mighty vanilla gold warhorse in the middle of the kobold horde. You were charging that way, and all of a sudden you were charging through the woods and you got over the brook, and all of a sudden you disappeared and you appear in the middle of the horde. Now, you happen to appear in a swath that's just been, and so basically just smell horrible. I mean, a wretched, burning, reptilian smell. But the kobolds are regrouping. The remaining 150 of them are... They're coming.
On the side of the warhorse.
I thought he was going to say he appears in the middle of a lightning bolt.
I didn't even give a chance for that to happen. All right.
We'll say
ending the round, and we're going to a new round.
Immediately.
All right. So now you are surrounded by about 200 dead kobolds, and easily over 100 alive ones, and their morale has held. So despite the fact that over half their number are dead, they are still fighting. Okay. Now you can breathe again in missile fire if you choose to. You do have to be a little more careful now. It's getting to be a little tighter in there. Because now Herrick's in there. Also, when she breathed over top of you, that's some you actually got some air. Like there's less of them actually on you for a moment. Especially Chiron, most of the ones that were on you were killed. They're scrambling back up. It is at that moment that you can now, they're not on you, that you can now see that you are standing, your feet are 7 feet off the ground. Just piles of dead kobolds under you.
Do I need to save for my helmet separately?
Did it come separately?
Yes.
Sure. Actually, you don't have to save for it. It's fine.
Okay.
I only made you save for the other things because they're exterior and so large and very possibly outside the kobolds in some sense. Everything else was pretty interior. Kobolds protected it. So. Okay. So we're rolling initiative. Everyone's there. Everyone roll initiative. Okay. Missile fire initiative. What does Astrid have?
Two.
What does?
Seven.
All right. Are you breathing again?
Yes, but I will aim it so it's not going to bounce off the cliff.
Okay. So the only way that you'll be able to be sure of doing that is to take a pretty fringe shot. So the cliff is in the back of the whole battle, but you can go out to the right toward the brush, and then you should still be able to get maybe even a couple dozen of them on the edge, and it would go off into the woods. If you go to the left off into the woods, it's the same thing. It's just a different edge.
Is there a way to get a count for the bounce to... Trying to avoid it now that it's in her mind.
Yeah, I mean, so us. you could angle, like, you could go between Chiron and Lucas, but as close to them as you can possibly get, so that when it hits the wall and bounces back, it's on the other side of them. That's possible.
Sure, I'll give that a try.
It's a little risky, but it's doable.
Why not?
Okay, and it should, it will cut through the meat of them again, because you should get a lot of kobolds again.
Okay, I will do 10 points this time.
Okay.
No, do 12 at least.
Do <joke. laughs>
I don't want to account for 41 hit point kobolds. Okay. All right.
Less than one dice, they have 6 hit points. That's a lot.
They're D8 minus one. They have D8 minus one. So. I mean, and there are hundreds of them, so some of them are bound to have
67 hit points. Yeah.
Okay. And so this is in missile fire.
Yep.
All right. So roll 8d8. On the stroke through the pack. Roll horsemanship. As the horse panics, reflection comes near.
And dragon.
Oh, you can't see the dragon. Dragon's in the woods. Not worried about the dragon. More like flying lightning.
Okay. That's a 18.
It does not sound like horsemanship.
However,
that's probably a cool.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to fall off in the middle of the pack of kobolds. I don't get one attack per round.
The pack of kobolds is shrinking pretty fast.
Yeah.
44.
no problem. So, by some strange blessing of the gods, the vanilla gold warhorse rears up, taking Chiron to 20 feet off the ground. Not Chiron. Herrick to 20 feet off the ground. And then as it settles back down, crushing one kobold, maybe two, and several dead ones, Herrick beautifully stays in the saddle. He does not throne. Okay? And what was the number?
What did I say? 44.
44 on 88. Nice. That is a good roll. Okay. And then 66 on the backstroke.
Thought my numbers were good, but...
Okay.
3, 6, 9.
Lucas will save versus breath weapon, will only fail on a 1.
22.
So roll d20. If you get a 1, they like...
10.
Okay, so the lightning spreads through the kobolds to near you, but does not touch you.
Nope.
22
on the back.
22 more. Okay. Their ranks are definitely thinning. Can't be more than 100 left. It's hard to tell which ones are alive now. Some of the dead ones are still standing up fighting. They don't know they're dead. It's happened very quickly. Missile fire? Two shots? Two dead kobolds. Okay. Melee 9. 8. 7.
Can I go again?
2.
You can take an action, but you can't breathe again. You only breathe once around. So you could claw, bite. You could move.
Does she get one attack per level in dragon form as well?
Yes. She would still get one, but it would be like... So she... What level are you?
6.
So you would get like... Two claws, and then two claws, and two bites. It would be spread over your attack routine. So it would be like claw, bite, bite, claw, or something like that. So that is an option. And it wouldn't cost any more breath weapon, and it would be much more precise.
What round could I do that in if I moved closer?
You could charge up and do that at the end of this round. End of this round. Yep. Be wading into literally... 5 foot deep piles of dead kobolds, but
why not?
Okay. Alright, so that's the plan. As for the rest of us, was that 7? Was it 7?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Also in 7 is the warhorse. So he begins to stomp out kobolds nearby. And he will kill 2. Horsemanship.
6.
No problem. Okay. He's too heavy to stand on them, so they're like his feet are going through the bodies, so he doesn't have a lot of mobility. So
brutal.
Also, that was in 7. How about 6?
I'm in 2.
I'm in 6. Sorry.
6. Go ahead. Take your full routine.
Yeah, 5.
It's fine. 5 is fine too. And I'll start clawing. One bite hit for 1 point. One claw hit. Okay, so we've got one bite and one claw for 1 and 2.
I can block 2 at a time with the armor, right?
You can take it. Is it full or peeled?
It is full plate.
Then it can do up to 2 points of damage from any given attack.
Okay.
But not area effect attacks or falling or anything like that. Okay.
I still have not taken any health damage. I'm a little worried they're like diseased or something. So.
Certainly a possibility. Okay. How many was the total you got then?
Well, that I got?
Yeah.
How many did I kill?
Yeah.
9.
Ooh.
Paladins can cure diseases that way. I'd
still rather not be diseased if I can help it.
That's fair.
But you can also fail to cure diseases.
This was not a good day for their horde. Definitely not a good day for the kobold horde.
Cure disease spell as a cleric of your level. 2 times.
Okay. I lost track of initiative. That was in six, five, he was five. Then we're in four.
You probably
or initiative four. Initiative three.
I'm just gonna try and hold on.
That's very tight,
okay.
Do it, or actually, there's still about a. Well, there's less than 100.
Less than 100 now, yeah. Probably 80-ish. It's hard to tell. A lot of dead ones.
Yeah, they're working their way down.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just gonna concentrate on holding on.
Okay. So they are going to try to come up and get you. And they'll be attacking the horse as well. So on you is only three. Claws. No hits. Oh, jeez. Just rolled 6d20. The highest roll was a 6 on all 6d20. Bites, however. Oh, that's a little better. Oh, all three hit. Look at that. That's so funny.
Ow, ow, ow.
Two, four, one. Total of 7. That was something. Okay. And then on the horse. Better, but not knightly.
Okay, so
he is getting cut up some.
Do you think the dogmen were looking for the horse? I think they might have been looking for
survivors. That was three. Any other threes?
Where the horse?
Twos. Ones. End of the round.
I was in two.
Go ahead. Go ahead and do yours. So you get, just roll a total of 6 attacks, d20. Roll 6 d20, Caitlin. And then you will hit anything
20, 10.
That's
anything
12.
4 or better hits.
You're right. 20. Where's my?
There's another one there. I see another one.
All right. Now you can roll for this one.
All right. My first one was 20. And you said
sorry. I should have warned you there was a horde so you could bring more dice. Just kidding. Can you imagine getting that text on the way to gaming? Bring extra dice. There's a horde. That'd be a rough. You'd be hoping for kobolds.
Interested in giving financially to Low Moon and support the campaign? Text LMGIVE, that's LM Give, to 419-419-0095.
Also.
All right, 20, 10, 14, 2,
2, 1. 2, 2, 1s are all misses. So you hit 3 times, killed 3.
I killed 11.
One of them was a bite, and it did not taste good.
I can imagine.
Like, greasy, charred lizard. Okay.
It's like eating the leftovers.
A very underappreciated facet of PC bite attacks is that you taste everything you attack.
Yeah.
It's pretty gross.
Okay, what was your total, Aaron?
11.
Nice. Okay. All right. So they're checking morale, but we know how this is going to go. Yep. Them what's alive is running away. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Attack of opportunity?
Sure. One. Okay. You killed it. Hopefully it wasn't the last one because that would be hilarious.
I'll kill 1, 2. Yep. Got it.
At the end of the round, I'll just
breath
them.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Now that they're not on top of us, you can breath them.
Okay. Well, so what's happening is basically the horde, what's left of the living kobolds they're scrambling, trying to crawl away in every direction. And, I mean, there's quite a few left, probably 60 at least. And they're, like, crawling and burrowing and swimming through their dead horde members. But you do occasionally see them, like, their flip or roll or whatever. They're scrambling out pretty fast. So within about probably 30 seconds to a minute, they'll be clearing the area. If you wanted to, you could breathe and probably kill 10 or 15 of them. Debatable as to whether it's
burrowing.
Worth it.
Yeah.
Some burrowing. Yeah. Some of them are just like bounding along the dead bodies, and then they'll come to a spot where it's too high and they'll just dive through and come out the other side and, you know, that kind of thing. So, okay. So, basically, you have achieved victory over the hobgoblin horde.
Or kobold.
I'm sorry, kobold.
Yeah.
Sometimes my mouth doesn't work.
Mouth words.
Next up, hobgoblin words.
These are not hobgoblins.
Thank goodness.
Yes, thank goodness.
And also,
300 hobgoblins would not have turned out so well.
You did not see any scene of hobgoblin sacrifice. Based on the directions of the ivy, the best you can. The horses, in fact, the horse disappears and reappears on the edge of the horde now to get the kobold. Although when he appears, he does have one kobold still embedded on his up to his knees. So he begins to try to like shake that off.
I will, once it's clear the kobolds are retreating, Chiron, I'll take my helmet off. It probably, visor's probably pretty bloody, I imagine. And then,
yes, everything is bloody.
I will dig out my water skin and offer it to him.
Okay.
As a dragon?
I imagine you can turn back.
Kumar will wander off the mountain of bodies and shift back towards where she left the story.
Okay.
Turbo and...
All right. Okay, so... All right, before she actually arrives to you, roll a d20. So there's about a minute in between. Okay. So as you're staying there, I mean, you see it's pretty well mopped up. The kobolds start to flee. You could pick off a couple more if you want to, but at some point in time, it's like, are they really worth the arrows? You're going to collect all the arrows that you just shot would be... an arduous task. You figure probably half to two-thirds of them are probably lost in that mess. And so you notch the last arrow, you take aim, you realize, okay, they're not really a threat. You see the horse shifting, and then it disappears. And as it reappears on the edge of the wood, and Klum has not actually extricated herself, she's just starting to move out from all the dead kobolds, you realize you are not alone.
Alone, man.
The wood gets quiet, and it's just the battle sounds are pretty well dying off. The swinging of swords have ended. There is a sort of a noise of exhalation, and then there's a little bit of like gritting teeth and yipping of the kobolds that are trying to get away. But it's really pretty quiet for a second. And out of the corner of your eye, you see a small gust of moist air. It's about 15 feet away in the trees, so it's on the other side of another tree. And you realize there must be someone there on the other side of that tree. And because the kobolds don't have the same body temperature, so you know it's not a kobold. Like, their breath is barely visible in this, so they don't have that because they're cold-blooded. So you're pretty sure 10, 12 feet away, there's somebody right on the other side of the tree. He does not. He's human.
Turn and shoot at the tree where I saw the breath coming out of.
Shoot at the tree? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay.
Where I saw the coming from. Like, I'm assuming it's someone breathing in the tree or something breathing.
Yeah, so when you looking in that direction, you see the tree. Okay, so you can hit the tree, but it's the person is behind the tree completely. Mm-hmm. So, like, it would mostly just probably scare them, or is that the plan?
Something like that.
Okay. All right. So you let fly the arrow. You do so with force, I assume. All right. So it strikes the tree hard, and there is a loud thwacking noise, and the bark actually splits, and a little bit of bark falls as the arrow burrows deep into the tree. You're very strong, strong bow, point blank range. You hear a faint gasp, like intake of air, as if the person realizes that they have been detected. And a female voice says, "No, wait!
Killed you."
Okay.
that makes it sound like you missed.
She says, "I'm coming out!
Can I just draw
Don't shoot me.
That when it's clear, Clem is not accepting my water skin, I'll be yelling at myself."
Okay. Well, she seems to be extricating herself from the dead bodies first before turning back, you think?
Yeah, that's fair.
In a moment, she probably would accept your assistance. But she may have her own water skin. You're not sure. You don't recall. Okay. Anyway, so are you continuing to cover the person with the bow and arrow as they come out from behind the tree?
I have an arrow now, so I'll tell her to come out.
But you're more pointing it like toward the ground or something? Okay. All right. That sounds good. So she steps out. Before you see a woman, she's probably 5'4". She's pretty in the face. has faint freckles along her cheek line, manicured neatly, eyebrows, makeup enough to that it's intentional, fair skin. She's wearing a veil, but it's not covering her face. You can see her face, and it hangs across her neck and then down. Her clothing is form-fitting, tight, lightweight, like silk, basically. She has large hoop earrings, and you would definitely say you were standing before a gypsy. And in that moment, you have a traumatic flashback to the moment of your flight from your hometown. And so you lose sight of her, like your vision goes dark. Like all you can see is that moment of your leaving and the heartbreak and emotions that surround it. But it only lasts for like 2 seconds. And when you look again, she is still there. And you realize you are standing face to face, 10 feet apart with Serena, the gypsy princess, which you all came out here to find.
Wow.
Okay. And she, her jaw drops and her perfect teeth shine faintly in the moonlight, which has found its way from behind the clouds. And she says, "Astrid?"
Serena?
She looks toward the kobold death match.
How far away is this fountain?
40 yards from the clearing, so pretty far. But you can hear faintly hear voices. Okay. She like full starts, edges like she's going to come forward, and then she holds up and she says, How did you get to be here?
Came looking for
what a silly question from our perspective.
You came looking for me? Now tears are streaming down her face.
Yes. I think his name is Xavier. Was it Xavier?
Who sent you?
Who sent us?
Abdo. Catral. The prince. The gypsy. The head of the tribe. So the tribe is Catrell. Abdo is the leader. It's the one that Dean played at the retreat.
I wonder how he got to that point.
How who got?
How Abdo got to that. Was he always the gypsy prince? Or he was a PC for a while, wasn't he?
No, he was never a PC. No, he's always been a PC. I thought you meant how did he get to the retreat?
No.
Which there is a somewhat entertaining and mildly contrived plot of how he came to be there, which we can talk about another time. But anyway. So now tears are streaming down her face, and you said that you came for her, and she pushes past her own feeling of like reluctance, and she runs towards you. You see that she has sandals. You see her toes. She's open-toed sandals. And what did you say?
Put dice on my sleeve.
Oh, okay. Anyway, she runs, and she's going to try to wrap herself around you, basically.
Yeah, I'm going to look around her for danger.
There doesn't appear to be any.
Kind of like only one danger.
Okay. So she does then, she throws herself on you. She lays her face gently against the side of your neck. She's hugging you. She probably weighs maybe 110 pounds. She is supple and strong, but thin. And she says,
does she look beat up? Or?
She definitely looks like she's been through it a little bit, but she doesn't have any wounds, any obvious wounds, no bruising on her face, anything like that. And she says, I could not have asked the gods for a greater boon.
I'm glad you're okay. How'd you end up here? I heard that you got married.
Yeah, no, I've been playing it.
It's true. And she looks toward the clearing where all the dead kobolds are. And she says, my husband. And she says, help me. We must see if he is still alive. And she turns and she's pulling you toward the clearing, holding you like right, just three fingers of your hand. Also, you can tell that despite all that she must have been through this evening, she still wears the same perfume. And then you can smell it. Your mind, somewhere in your subconscious, you remember like times where you and her snuck away when you were younger. I mean, it is deeply rooted in your like hormonal memories the time that you spent with her. You were, at that time, and a lot has happened since then, and maybe your emotions have faded, but at that time, you were, like, she was your whole world. So she is dragging you toward the Horde. At that moment, you also see the dragon has left the battle scene. A few kobolds run in various ways through the woods, but then none of them come near where you are. And then the dragon turns back with a flash of light. Seconds later, you see a green eruption of light, much fainter than the the transformation of the dragon or the lightning in the area of Chiron as he is healing. You may roll healing.
I already rolled it.
Okay.
And I'm back to where I started this battle.
The warhorse also is shaking off the kobold, and it seems intent.
Yeah.
Seems intent upon probing the battle scene as well.
Climbing down and letting it try to lead me to where.
Okay. So he keeps trying to go out into the clearing, near to where the fire was, but he won't walk on the kobolds to do it.
Gotcha.
So he's kicking kobolds out of the way, trying to clear a path, and it's going to take forever.
I'm assuming I'm following her, wondering if it's this is real.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So you approach the edge of the clearing. At the edge of the clearing, she lets your hand go, and you just survey what looks to be just a horrible scene of death and destruction, mostly all kobolds, thankfully.
I think
Chiron has healed himself some, and as a sort of a side effect of your healing, some of the blood is gone from his armor. He looks a little cleaner. Okay.
Don't be healed, but I wouldn't mind clean.
Right, he is somewhere.
Excuse me, healer.
Here.
Can you clean
Perhaps
me?
We should look for him in case he's injured or dead.
Yes.
Consider a servant.
Would Klum hear Lucas ask that?
Yes.
Klum will cast create water over Lucas.
Okay.
Clean him.
A little fire hydrant eruption splashes over you, and you feel wet but better.
Neat trick. I'll have to keep that in mind. You said Reiki?
Yes.
Where do I know that name?
I think he was in the Eastern Lands and bought a round of drinks for everyone.
Oh, yes. The Paladin.
Yes.
Not in Eastern Lands, Gulls Crossing. Right outside here.
Oh, why I probably
missed that session.
Yeah.
Right outside here. The place that was empty. Yes. The innkeeper, his wife, but Reiki had come through before and bought rounds in advance for everybody.
He wasn't the same paladin we met out in the wilderness.
No.
Have you approached the clearing now?
Yes, with Serena.
Check out Things Were Different Back Then, the origin story of Lord Victor told from a certain point of view.
And she is looking longingly toward the area of the fire.
And
in fact, she's going to throw her weight into it. It's like she daintily grabs a kobold body by the foot and slings it aside. She starts to try to clear a path to get out there as well. He's out there.
Suppose I'll be in searching.
Creed, can you hear me?
I put her on my back or something like that and just run through.
Okay. So you're going to wade through them, basically.
Just, no point in doing that. Just run through.
Okay.
And likewise,
it's sloppy.
Yeah.
They break under your footfall. They roll aside. It's still body parts. So just roll a dex check.
I'm not trying to clear a path through the horse, but I'm trying to get to
wherever the horse is pointing to as well. So you can roll a dex check as well as you pick your way through.
Dex check is 20, right?
D20, equal or less than dex.
Made by 10.
Okay, so both of you are managing to navigate with relative ease.
I can help move some kobolds that we're digging down to try and find them.
Yeah, so they're piled up dead out there. So even when you get there, you're going to have to get to ground level if he was laying on the ground or somebody was.
Move lots of kobolds at a time. So.
Yeah. And they're dangling in every different direction as they go flying.
By the way, it's possible that the hobgoblins might have heard this fight, so who knows what's going on there.
We should move quickly.
Okay. A couple points of clarification. So one, you are fairly certain, based on the ivy's direction, coming through the two of you navigating, coming from the wrong place, that this is where the sacrifice was supposed to take place. That's what you've got. And Serena says, She is a lost loved one out here under the kobolds, possibly. That's what you've got. Okay? All right. So we'll fast forward a little bit because we're running low on time. You managed to clear at the area where you might find, that she thinks you might find her husband. And quite unfortunately, you do not find her husband. However, quite fortunately, you do find what appears to be the unconscious form of a paladin. He's a very large man, probably six and a half foot tall. He is wearing field plate armor, and it is goldish in color. And it is beat to snot, the armor and the paladin, for that matter. And he, as he is laying there on the ground, he's laying face down, kind of spread eagle, his legs out, his toes are toward the ground, his arms, and he's clearly clutching something underneath of him, which could be a person, but it's definitely not big enough to be a man, per se.
Careful.
Be small. Laying in the dirt next to him is a broken longsword. The blade itself is shattered. It's in three pieces. And it has a golden braid around the pommel and the cross piece. You can see that there's like what looks to be blood or something like that soaked into the dirt all around him. Not just the kobold blood, but something that looks a little more human. Remind you too, right now the clouds have cleared. You have moonlight, so it's pretty bright here.
Are we intending to
three-quarter
run right away?
Okay.
I'll flip him over.
All right. As you flip him over, what you find underneath of him is a female. She's small, 4'2", but she does not appear to be a halfling. She is thin, almost thin as a rail, almost like malnourished thin, definitely thinner than supermodel thin, okay. 25, 35 pounds underweight.
Easy. Like triage first, then see if either of them are
okay. So as you pull him over, his arms are wrapped around her, and she sort of rolls up with him. But she is clearly alive. Her eyes are open. Her skin is silky smooth. And again, she's 4'2", and she probably weighs about maybe 40 pounds, soaking wet.
Looks like an adult.
It does look like an adult. She has boobs. Her hips are wider despite her malnourished and narrowness. She's very pretty. Her face is, the features all but gaunt are very pretty. Her hair is, would be, it's covered in blood and dirt right now, but it would be shiny silver, like mithril kind of silver. And her eyes have a violet tint to the pupils. And then where under her eyes are deep, dark, bluish, black bags, as if she is unhealthy. Okay? You check the paladin. He is dead. In fact, you can see that the front of his armor has been severed at the chest, and his heart has been literally shredded. So it goes like from here to here, and it's split wide open. And then you can see, like, the chest cavity is, the sternum is cracked open, and the heart behind is destroyed. You can see the one crushed lung.
Does the girl look, like, in a state to be moved?
So she is conscious. She's wild-eyed. She's scared. And she does, actually, like, she tries to burrow back into the hole. Like, she's skittering back into the hole. At which point in time, you can see that she's wearing a silk, like a slip, basically. It's a very thin material, and you can see that she's not wearing underwear when she tries to pull back.
Lucas will, like, gently detain her, basically.
And at that point, the horse disappears from the edge and comes to where he can see. He's standing in the kobolds. He's pushed past his own fears of the dead kobolds.
Comfort the horses.
Okay.
Okay. Someone have a cloak?
I say,
Lucas will decloak and.
Well, Clum will take her cloak off and approach the girl.
Magic.
Disgusting.
It's just washed.
It's just washed. Cloaked in gore. She's slaving her man who's just Gabby is perfect.
Yeah,
she does not look good.
I'll say. It's all right. You're safe now, anyways.
I'll pass the girl.
Okay.
Off.
She says something in Elven. Who speaks Elven? Lucas for sure.
I speak Elven.
90% sure. Okay.
Lucas will turn on
Clem as well. Yes. Waiting for Eric. Okay, so the three. Do not kill me. Do not kill me. In Elven.
We aren't going to kill you.
She turns and looks at you. Are you dragon?
What is she saying? Tell her we're here to save her.
She asked if I was a dragon.
Well, don't answer that. Tell her we're here to save her.
I'll say to the girl.
Serena says, where is my husband? And the girl cowers back. Some of the dirt in the hole behind.
Wait, delicate situation. One person talking at a time.
Clue will say to the girl, we're here to help you. What's your name?
She seems like genuinely intimidated by you. I see your scales. I have known your kind. Can this be true? Are you?
She's a racist.
Are you a good blue dragon?
If that'll assuage your fears, then yes.
Whoa. She will do you no harm while here.
I am. You must return me home quickly.
Where's home?
I am dying even now.
Someone else should talk to her.
Clem will turn around and rush.
Roll a healing check.
Lucas will reapproach.
12.
You can visibly see the thin silk slip that she's wearing, which is, she has boobs, but they're small, right? Like, think like pre-adolescent, even though she does appear to be an adult. But she's very malnourished, so, or appears to be so. And you can see where it's sitting tight on her chest, and you can visibly, her heart beating behind the silk. You realize that she is under too much stress right now, she's on the verge of a heart attack.
Does she have, clear injuries?
Yes, she has bruises aplenty. She has a cut on the inside of her right calf. Obviously, she looks gaunt. Some of her injuries appear to be mystical in nature rather than delivered by a weapon. Anyway, so that's an observation. So it takes no time. No time actually passed while you gain that information. And she says, "If you would prove your worth,
I'll
take me home.
I'll fish for bandages."
Okay, and she passes out. Her head just kind of lolls to the side. You can see the bone in her neck.
When she passes out, I'll be in tending to her wounds right away.
Okay. You may roll healing.
3. It's round. How is the rounding done for rolling 10% on my roll?
So it is up at 0.5, just like normal. So you need 25 to get 3.
16 points back.
If she passed out, Lucas is going to start going over Regis's body and see if he has any things of note, a letter maybe, a note.
He does not. He does not have a pouch. He does not have any weapons. He just has his armor. The boots do not appear to match the armor.
Okay.
He has the shreds of a cape.
I'm going to go to the horse then.
Okay.
Start looking it over, calming it if possible.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been kind of
I'll keeping it to animal friendship it while I'm at it.
Okay.
It just kind of happens.
Yeah, it's not what you can control it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I mean, he seems calm. He definitely seems somber. Both of you note that it appears as if he has actual tears in his eyes.
Very smart horse.
Okay.
We'll see.
You do healing on her. All obvious physical wounds are healed. However, she does not come to consciousness, and her pulse rate is around 150 to 160. What is Clume doing during that? Take a whole minute for him to do that. Are you doing anything during that time? Elves are pretty equivalent to human.
Clume will just oversee.
So it's not like...
It's at the top end of what's acceptable. Okay. It's certainly to be unconscious, you would expect it to go down.
Yeah. Okay.
For the average person.
If it maintains that rate for very long, she's probably going to not...
Could have an aneurysm. Yeah. I'm sorry, Tegan.
Clue's just going to oversee the
kid. Are there any obvious signs of disease? Like any symptoms of disease?
Not a normal disease. There is some form of mystical... It almost gives the impression as if she is wounded in her spirit. What is Astaire doing during this time?
Trying to calm Serena down.
Okay.
She's very upset with everything around her.
So she lays her head against your shoulder, clutches, like pulls your armor against her, and she says, "He was here. I saw them. That's why Reiki came here. He came here to get freed. And now he's not here. Where is he? I've lost my husband."
Who's Creed?
My husband. Creed is my husband.
Am I crazy? You just said he came here to get himself?
Reiki came here to get freed. For me. He came for me. Now he's dead. Creed is... The hobgoblins must have carried him off.
We will find him.
I can't ask you. But can you? She doesn't laugh, of course. Please, Astaire.
It seems like a given.
I don't believe any of the horrible things they said about you back in the day. Okay.
Sorry, I'm looking at you like.
So, yeah, I wasn't really prepared to have this conversation.
You guys done killing 100 kobolds.
Yep. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So, can my healing can't address soul wounds.
No.
Okay, but
at least not
her
yet.
Her wounds were clearly
someday maybe.
Her wounds clearly got better though.
Her physical wounds are completely healed. Like, the bruising is almost completely gone. She even looks maybe a little less malnourished.
Maybe it's...
But something is... You would say something is affecting her life force. Not to the point that she couldn't heal. Because if a person can't heal, like a soul wound, then you can't help them.
Right. Well, I'm going to try and do a cure disease on her.
Okay. So, as soon as you queue up a cure disease, if she has a disease, it'll tell you. Like, you can't cure a disease if there's no disease. And there isn't one. Something else is killing her.
She insisted that we bring her home because she was dying already. And that she needed to be home.
Right, but is being home going to save her, or is being home to see her family?
More than
either way.
She said, "I must be returned home. I can feel myself dying as we speak. Going home is what's going to stop her from dying."
Or at least, even if not... It's where she wants to be when she dies.
True, but...
Serena is looking in the direction, intrigued by the conversation.
I'll ask the horse, where is your home?
I'll ask the horse, do you know where this woman came from?
He seems thoughtful, and then he looks off into the woods.
Left.
Like, back the way we came? Or...
Maybe off slightly. Hands, I mean, you're guessing, but like, so you came from that way, and he's kind of looking off a little bit.
This is admittedly a long shot, but far?
Okay, he says, or he like kicks a kobold head over to the side and scratches in the dirt with his hoof.
Just like a line?
Are you looking?
Yeah.
It says 30. 30.
What?
Or it could be runic in some language you don't know how to read. I'm pretty sure it says 30.
So 30 minutes or 30 days.
Or 30 miles or 30
yards or 30 anything.
Can we get here tonight? This is what I suggest.
This horse is a genius.
Yeah, it's awesome. Let me know how you feel about it. I can take the girl and the horse and go. We get there tonight. We're probably better off traveling just us. Anything we really get messed up in, it's a teleporting horse.
Yes, but that takes you out of probably doing anything regarding the cult. Or, sorry, the sacrifices.
Serena says, I think he's communicating more than you know.
Check out The Moment Blood Bowl wherever you buy books. This is written by Pastor Daniel Stevenson, the longtime author and game master of Low Moon Adventures.
Will he let me approach him?
Surely. Stomps her.
Probably.
Okay. She looks at the piles of 3 and 4 foot high kobolds between here and there, and she looks at a sword and says, "Help me."
How?
To get over to the horse.
Oh,
she's wearing sandals.
And silk clothing that probably cost 20 gold.
Should I, like, put her on top of the horse?
I mean, she just needs you to hold her arm and maybe carry her. If you want to carry her, that would be the way, but you could just hold her arm so she crawls over.
I didn't realize she got
up. She got down when her husband was found, or when Reiki was found. And
does Reiki have any, like, sigils or anything like that of his holy symbol?
He has a holy symbol of Athena under his armor.
Athena, okay.
Yep.
And throw back my back to go towards the horse.
Okay, so, yeah, it only takes a minute. I mean, it's only 20 feet, but it's, like, not good terrain. It's dead kobold ground. Okay, so then she asks you to put her down, and she finds footing. And then she reaches up, and she lays her hand on the side of the horse, his head, and she says, "Where did you find her? Where is she from?" She narrates over top of you. She says, "This is Reiki's warhorse. He was with Reiki when I first met Reiki." So, and then she goes, "Ah, okay." He says, "Maybe she came from the wood. He saw a place in the wood that he could not go that smells like her.
Maybe a nymph?"
"Okay, we're taking her. It's easy enough. If that's her move."
"I will not leave Frankie's body here. So that is another issue to be addressed.
What would you do? Either the land is cursed because she's not there, or something chased her out. If something chased her out, then I don't know that I can handle it on my own. But if it's just getting her there, that's easy and quick."
We're talking about less than half a mile,
yeah,
so
let's go.
All of us.
Yes.
It's probably not a bad idea. We get clear from here. The hobgoblins will come any second, but
we have
Astrid has promised me to find my husband.
Was he taken by the hobgoblins as a sacrifice or as a captive?
Originally, yes.
As this conversation is happening, I'm going to take your dagger.
Let's
cut Reiki's, what's remaining of Reiki's armor off.
Okay.
Try not to cut his clothing.
Bring him with us if we can.
I mean, most people are going to have to walk, so I mean, you could put his body on the other warhorse.
That's my thought. I'm going to cut his armor.
Or on the golden warhorse, for that matter. Probably be
bandage him enough as his insides don't fall out and throw him over.
Yeah, it probably won't.
Okay, so Lucas will. Has Serena cleared the horse a little bit? Did she step back? Or is she still standing?
I mean, she can't really step back without clearing more space.
Lucas would like to attempt to commune with the horse.
Can she ask the horse if she saw, if he or saw her husband?
Okay. Yeah. So she has to explain to him who Creed is, and the horse will say, "Yes. Well, the hobgoblins were retreating. They took 2 of the sacrifices with them. One of them may have been the man that she is describing.
Direction.
And he was, at that time, alive."
"A direction?"
"Yes, beyond the cliff edge."
"Beyond the cliff edge. So we return the elf and go beyond the cliff edge."
"It sounds to me like time's of the essence."
"Okay, so the plan is to return her to the dark part of the wood and see if that helps or if there's something there that kicked her out."
Lucas is of the opinion that we should split. Well, because if they're doing this, if they took them to another camp to do the sacrifices, they could be doing them now.
Well, I believe.
Or preparing for them now.
Well, I mean, he also has to do with the paladin? What are you going to do?
Well, he probably just needs to stash him somewhere. If he's trying to get him back to society, he's probably just going to have to stash him somewhere because you've got more things to do tonight.
Yeah. Quite honestly, I'm the least useful when it comes to fighting the kobolds and getting to the sacrifices. I can go and take her back. My only concern is that I can't handle what may be there, but I'm willing to do it anyways.
Well, and here's the thing. If it's as simple as getting her back in her part of the forest, you could answer that question in 10 to 15 minutes. It's not. It's less than half a mile away.
So all going, just go.
Yeah, you could all go. And then if you get back in there and find out that...
It's more complicated. Yeah. We could split them.
But the only problem... His thought is that they could be doing the sacrifices now. So... One or two people could go and at least try to thwart that effort.
I do believe with the sub-chieftain out of the way, the hobgoblin camp is probably something we can handle with three of us, assuming nothing unforeseen comes up, but that could be true about either group.
Kroom is willing to go after hobgoblins.
I'll put my hand on the head of the horse.
Okay.
And I'll ask him if he'll allow me to ride.
I mean, he does not immediately answer.
Okay.
And then Serena will put her hand on it and she says he wants to help the lady. If you are helping the lady, he'll do whatever.
Very well.
It's pretty evident that Reiki. It's pretty evident that Reiki died saving her.
Yeah. So Reiki didn't have a shield, right?
If he did, it's under the kobold horde somewhere. It wasn't on him.
Lucas, give me.
There could be any number of other things also under the horde. Because it's a carpet of 2 to 3 feet high at the minimum, all the way across the clearing everywhere. There's nowhere that there's not at least 3 kobold bodies piled up.
Lucas,
give me
your shield.
I will find somewhere to stash Raiki's body, and myself, Bastard, and Klum can go after the hobgoblins.
We can take the body with the horse. One foot.
Fine with that. If this area belongs to this girl, she could also keep an eye on it if she has some power there.
Okay. So we'll stop at this point, but the plan will be to break up at least briefly, and it doesn't necessarily have to be for a long period of time, long enough for somebody to take her back to her part of the wood, if that's what's going on there, and for the other group to scout up far enough to make sure that the sacrifice is not taking place now.
And we will meet back here 1 hour or sooner if we come sooner.
Or mark your path and we'll find you.
Yeah, we'll do that as well. You're in charge of that.
In charge of what?
Marking the path so that we can find you. What a...
Thank you all. This concludes this session of Outsiders.
What time is it?
Stay tuned for more Lomunian adventures.